Oh, well, hey there, folks. I'm Brett. I'm the host of this show. What you're going to hear today is the live show, the debut of the School Sucks live show. From last night, May 10th, me, Mandrick, and Osborne will be your hosts. Clipped about three or four segments out just to tighten it up a little bit, keep it shorter. Now, if you want to hear the extra content and if you want to see some more videos of what we did last night, because remember, we're broadcasting this on Ustream as well. And if you next Thursday at 10 p.m. want to watch the video of us, and there's also a chat you can get involved in there, schoolsucksproject.com, and just click the tab in the main nav bar that says live and you can join us. We also take phone calls, and some of the technical problems that I anticipated actually were a reality last night, but I've got a week to try and work some of them out, and hopefully all will go smoothly in the future. Another thing that's probably going to happen with these live shows is it's hard to just stop talking at midnight. You know, we got three people there. Last night we had somebody on the phone when we ran out of time. So there's probably going to be after shows that might run 30, 40, 50 minutes where we continue our conversation, but that's not on LRN, and most of the time it's not going to be in the podcast. But I'm in the process of downloading and converting and editing some files and ripping some audio from some video. And I will tell you what, for this one time only, the bonus show, the after show, will go into the podcast feed. I'm not saying that it's anything spectacular, but it's extra content. So that will be 140 part B. This will be 140 part A. And yeah, that's it. I'm pretty excited about this. Got a lot to do in the next week. And if you in the future want access to the stuff that doesn't wind up in the podcast feed or on YouTube, consider becoming a subscriber. Go to schoolsucksproject.com and click support. I'm halfway to my goal of 150 people. You know, once I hit it, my new goal is going to be 300 people. But right now, I think we have 77, 78 people who've made that commitment. And that money really came in handy. This was over $1,000, this project, to get everything we need to do a live video show, including the new computer, a number of different cameras, lighting, the software. Had to buy software, folks. But yeah, thank you very much, everyone who subscribes. Did some new subscriber geography trivia in the last show. No one's come in since then. But yeah, if you've got a job and you enjoy every episode of this show, you learn a little, you laugh a little, please consider doing that. It is so helpful. And I'm sure there will be just as good uses for the money in the future, increasing bandwidth, getting some reliable hosting. A lot of people tell you they'll do hosting real cheap. They are liars. You know, if it's like unlimited, lies. Lies and inconveniences. Little lesson I've learned from experience. No such thing as unlimited hosting for $7 a month. That's a fact. All right, so anyway, here's the most of the live show from last night. Look forward to your feedback. And I know it's a little rocky, but like I said, as we go, it will get better. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Take care. Everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. I am Brett.
I love your bumper music. It's Mandrick.
Isn't it the best?
It's nice.
We're going to talk about it. And
I'm Osborne over here.
Osborne, no problem.
Over here?
So, yeah, go on about the bumper music. It is great.
It's nice. Where'd you get it from?
Well, I made it the other day. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about motivation and de-stressing and stuff like that today. And I really fell back in love with music just by listening to this band Widespread Panic that I kind of grew up with, like I did with Fish and the Grateful Dead, and it's very, very mellow and I really enjoy it.
But you haven't really been listening to music much lately?
No, because I spend a lot of time in the car listening to audio, and I also have told people, and I might actually retract this advice, that people should spend an hour or two a week listening to the mainstream media so they can stay somewhat in touch with, like, if they're engaging
norms, you know, ordinary folks, it might help you understand a little bit better about where they're coming from.
I'd rather not.
No, I'd rather not either. But for what I do as a media producer, I think it's helpful. But it's sure. It's also stressful. And, you know, I really think that deprogramming is a continuous process. And I think that going back and spending too much time can lead to, you know, relapses. You know, it kind of messes up your thinking again.
Really? So. Can you describe a time when you've relapsed?
Yeah, what's a relapse?
It's when you talk about the philosophy of liberty, right? But you do things that are more statusy, you know, like as far as the way you engage people. And I bit a guy's head off on Free Talk Live the other night. This poor guy, Randy, terribly nice guy, calls in and he wants to talk about, like, what do you mean that countries are an illusion? And I kind of snapped at him a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And maybe I just been listening to a little bit too much talk radio, an hour and a half a week. And I'm talking about like mainstream talk radio. There's plenty of really good educational talk radio out there. Folks,
sure.
We're doing some right now. Yeah.
Well, you are. I'm just here for comic relief, right?
No. This, I'm kind of really hoping that you would carry this.
Wow.
So we're going to go ahead and take a call. Michael, you're on the phone. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm watching the Ustream.
Hi, Michael.
Great. It looks pretty good, I think.
Yeah. I'm just finding out that it seems like it's about 5 or 6 minutes behind, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about. But
By the way, my camera on Ustream is not working, so it's like the most ridiculous picture Brett could find of me, and he just has it like flashed to that every once in a while.
Nice dome, buddy.
Thanks.
So, and if you don't know what we're talking about, if you just tuned in, we are on LRN.FM, which is how most people are probably listening to us right now. But if you go to schoolsucksproject.com and then you click the tab that says live exclamation point, after you watch a 30-second or so ad, you can actually watch our cams. And this is not a surveillance, you know, like everybody has a cam. Everybody who does a live show has a cam, like Rush Limbaugh, all those guys. Most of it just looks like surveillance camera footage. Like right. The camera is way up high. It's looking down at the top of everyone's head. It's grainy. The frame rate is bad. But I think we're looking pretty good. I mean, do you think it looks like we're moving in real time and all that, despite the delay?
Yeah, no, it actually, the quality and the smoothness looks pretty good. I can read your shirt. It says, don't steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sound quality is pretty good, especially for the bump music. I'm a big fan of Widespread Panic, seen it many times.
Now, do you understand that, did you notice the difference? Do you notice the theme? We have this kind of soft, like more mellow jam music coming in, but everything that goes out are these old school rap instrumentals.
You know, I'm the one on Facebook who posts Thug Life on like all your posts. So wow. I love the gangster rap theme in School Sucks. Always have.
Well, what we're hoping that will happen as we get our feet wet and we get better at doing this live show, when we're going to have the same bumper music all the time, it just plays in a rotation. It's a set thing for each break. So what will happen is that as we perfect and get, you know, just used to being in front of the cameras and being in front of the microphones, when the bumper music starts, whoever is talking will have to start rapping whatever they are saying.
You know? Oh my God, that's platinum material, right? That you're gonna get so many hits off those YouTube videos if you make like a compilation. I don't know, montage.
So, but, Michael,
hold on. Let me say one other thing.
Sure.
Stickers.
Oh yes, I like to say that.
By the way,
I love that dude's crunchy voice. I think it's funny as
By the way, during the break, sorry to cut you off. This is so important. During the break, Brett said his long-term goal for the show is for it to be the best show in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
All right, so Michael, I need to tell you this, and this is something that I started, and we need to get things back on track. I don't want to make this sound like we're doing a tech show about this podcast.
Right.
So I want to did you have any thoughts? The topic that we're about to get into is motivation, and the way that we were going to get into that was the diseasing and the pathologizing of normal childhood behavior has been a continuous theme on my show. And I found a blog called, I think it's called Simply Gifted or Uniquely Gifted.
.org.
Uniquelygifted.org if you want to check it out. And it talks, the title of the article that we're going to get into is Motivation Problem or Hidden Disability. And it talks about gifted children who, if they don't perform what the article calls serious work, which is schoolwork, that means that it might be the signs of a deeper problem that can be, you know, diseased or ultimately medicated.
You know, that kind of sounds an awful lot like the psychological term orthorexia, which is used to describe people who don't like to eat things like Doritos and chips. And it's basically, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's basically like something that was obviously thought up in a boardroom at like a big agri company. They were like, I wonder if we can get these people to think this way. I bet we can make a ton of money off of this. We're going to make up this big scary looking word called orthorexia, and all of a sudden we're going to get people to be afraid socially to eat organic food. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
This is people who don't like chips.
No, it's a psychological term. It's probably in that book 4 that has all the psychological determinations. Mm-hmm. It's for people who are afraid to eat food that has like bad ingredients in it.
Wiki says it characterized people who develop an obsession with avoiding foods perceived to be unhealthy. Which, by the way, I eat a paleo diet, so I guess I would qualify.
Yes, you would have it. So
absolutely.
So what do we do about it? Is there a drug?
I bet you there's a drug. it all depends if you're on the payroll.
It's so extreme it can lead to severe malnutrition or even death in rare cases. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That sounds...
Well, that's news to me, Michael. I mean, thanks for bringing that up. I had never heard of that before.
Yeah. Well, I can see where it would be a problem. Like, if you were in prison, for example, and you refuse to eat the peanut butter jelly sandwiches that they give you, and you just sit there and starve.
Well, I guess that would be a mean case of orthorexia.
I've often thought about that. If I went to jail, what would I eat? I don't, you know, I cook all these like nutritious meals with like no, you know, real low carbs. If I went to jail, I would have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've thought of that before too, because I go back to my experience working in these residential schools, which I'm guessing that's similar to the kind of food that you would have in jail. And on my current diet, yeah, I would starve unless I started eating like white bread and jelly, Welch's jelly.
Well, maybe they put us in the prison where they give you grass-fed meat and coconut flour pancakes for breakfast.
Yeah, we want to get into like a low-security country club kind of place, probably for some kind of tax crime.
They can hire me to cook at the prison, and I'll hook you guys up.
It's pretty interesting, but though, what you were saying about the motivation thing, about like, if you don't want to do what we say, we're going to say you've got a motivation problem. And they're like linking it like qualitatively your motivation to, you know, what was the subjective term you used?
I'll tell you what, Michael, we'll hold you over for one more segment. This is School Sucks Live. Give us a call, 843-JOIN-SSP. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett.
I'm Osborne.
And this is Mandrick.
And we have Michael on the phone. Michael, you still there?
I sure am. Good tune.
Thanks. You were in the middle of making a point before we had to cut you off there. You want to go ahead and finish that up?
Yeah, no, I'll just finish it up by saying that disorder that you were describing is it's kind of funny. You know, it's just like, if you don't want to do what we say, that means you have a problem. What was that other one? It was drapetomania. You know, the slave wants to escape. You know what I mean? And that's weird. So we need to call it something.
Yep. So that's certainly not a new trend of trying to pathologize something because of you know, disobedience. So Michael, we are going to let you go. Thank you very much for calling, and please give us a call again.
Yeah, next time, not from a waterfall though. Kind of sounded.
He's on a pirate ship.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. So are we really motivated to talk about motivation?
Yeah, we are. Well, I wanted to share the beginning of this article and get you guys' thoughts, and then I was hoping, you know, the whole thing for this show is to, instead of doing talk radio reactions. Borrowed this idea from my friend Richard Grove from tragedyandhope.com. Instead of doing like the reactions of talk radio.
Look at you name dropping.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm just...
Which Ron Paul is.
But I want to give credit where it's due. I'm not making arguments from authority here. It was a good idea that he had. Like, you know, most of talk radio is reactions, outrage, knee jerk.
Right.
And we want to do responses to these things. And we'd like to, hopefully, as this goes on, give constructive advice for problems that parents and students and even teachers who really actually care about being involved in education. Are concerned about. So we just wanted to give you the intro to this uniquely gifted article. It says, Motivation Problem or Hidden Disability, written by Meredith Warshaw, who is a special needs educational advisor.
Sounds like someone trying to justify her job.
Oh, she's got all kinds of letters. After her name, there we got an MSSMA. Mm. So five letters, right? That's...
She's got that MSS degree. I knew a lot of girls who went to school for that.
What is it?
Isn't that where you like go to college to find a husband to marry?
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Whoa.
I don't I'm totally lost here.
It's just turned into hot talk.
Wait, hold on. Can you explain on that, Osborne? I can't let you go without an explanation.
I think it's
there.
A little bit of a sexist comment, right? It's like a joke that you...
I don't know that it is. I mean it's the same thing that dudes do, right?
They go to college to find a husband?
Dudes go into the...
People do that, right?
Dudes, I don't know. I'm really confused.
Dudes go into the army so they can come home on their first break and marry whoever their girlfriend is immediately, like that.
Is that how it happens? What happens if they don't? Does that mean they failed or what?
I don't know. I most of the people that I knew went into the army as soon as they came home from wherever they were, married whoever they were dating.
I still want to know what Jason's talking about over here.
Think about it. MSS kind of spells miss. Right? Is that where you were going?
Yeah, I think they refer to it as the MRS degree. But
the MRS.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But miss, miss means you're not married.
Yeah, right. Anyway, evidently a failed attempt at humor.
Well, no, it was fine, and it generated like 3 minutes of conversations. Guys, I've got good feelings about this show. We just had a 3-minute discussion about the byline of this article.
Go ahead.
We're going to have no shortage of content. Okay.
Go ahead.
And it took us 45 minutes to even get to start the article.
It did, which is not ideal because this is a show that's supposed to be about education.
I'll stop talking. Go ahead. Start reading.
That's all right. So you're often told that your child's so smart, she could do that if only she'd try, or he has a motivation problem. The children in question may get sullen or angry or depressed. They may cry or insist that I can't or it's too boring. As parents, it hurts us to hear things about our children, to question our parenting skills, and to wonder why our children are not cooperating in school.
Uh-oh.
But there's often more here than meets the eyes. In my experience, a large portion of children who look like they have motivational problems have undiagnosed special needs. A few of the hidden disabilities...
Hold on. So the special needs educational advisor... is saying there's undiagnosed special needs.
Did you see Osborne's foreshadowing with trying to justify her job?
Hey, Meredith, I see what you did there.
So just this last part, and then we can... A few of the hidden disabilities that make children seem like they would rather stare at the ceiling than do serious work. And by serious work, she means schoolwork.
Right.
Are auditory processing problems, ADHD, inattentive type, executive functioning problems, and dysgraphia. Now, in my experience, I was a special ed teacher in a very special school for a number of years. And these are diagnoses that are attached to other types of behavioral problems. Now, these things might be real, and there's certainly a variety of behavioral and psychological problems that are very real. But I felt like these things were just being stuck to kids. And we talked a couple weeks ago on the Liberty Conspiracy School Sucks Live show about, we went through a bunch of statistics, Osborne, about all the things kids didn't know. And it was kind of showing how school, it's not that kids are dumb, but school is failing by its own metrics of like, these are the things that people should know when they graduate, but they don't know any of this stuff. So I really have a problem with people suggesting that, you know, the most recent generation are the adults looking down at kids and saying that they're dumb because of how they perform or don't perform in school.
Is this the same generation who has these children and they're looking down on them like this? I mean,
and someone was probably looking down on them, I would say, right. too.
It's kind of just like a cycle of abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what it sounds like. I mean,
so I thought we could
go into these. Like the first one here, was it auditory processing problems?
Yeah, because what I really want to is when we talk about these things, if you've had experience with this and you had some way of, you know, mitigating the situation, the pressure to be put into some kind of specialized setting in school or the pressure to take drugs, we'd like to hear what you did and how how you got around that or what ultimately became of that. And we are certainly plenty prepared to talk about our own, motivation, successes, and failures on this show. All three of us are incredibly successful people.
Okay.
Okay. So, number one, auditory processing problems. Auditory processing problems won't show up on standard hearing tests, since the problem is not the ability to hear sounds, but the ability to process verbal information. People with auditory processing problems may understand spoken information easily in a one-to-one situation with no background noise and a clear view of the speaker's lips, but have trouble in a crowded classroom or playground. They often seem like they aren't paying attention because they misunderstand questions and have trouble. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to say, like, it just sounds like, so some people probably learn better visually, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then others, I mean, there's also like kinesthetic learners, right? People who learn better hands-on.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
there's a variety of different learning types. I think there's 6 or 7.
But again, as with all these discussions, there's always the presumption that what it is that is important for the person to be hearing is what the teacher or authority right. figure is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why shouldn't they be paying attention to what's going on in the playground?
Maybe that's more
important.
But even if you are interested in the discussion that's going on in the classroom, why is it that you have to be in this room full of other people, you know, not in a one-on-one setting? Or why can't, if you like this certain topic, why isn't it something that you can just learn on your own with the internet? I mean, why, if you don't, you know, there's so many different things that it could be.
It's interesting too, because I believe that there could be, you know, such a thing as, I do believe that there is such a thing as an auditory processing problem, right? Where there are situations where things don't just, if you look at certain variables, when those variables are there, some things might not make as much sense to the recipient right. of information. But what I think is interesting about this one is that they're putting it specifically into the school situation where they say, one-on-one situations, which is more tutoring, mentoring, maybe something that they chose to learn about on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're in these mass group settings, there's some kind of breakdown in their ability to understand. And I would say, I think that that has a lot to do with, their interest. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 843-JOINSSP, Join SSP. And if you want to Skype, that's for a phone. And if you want to Skype in, School Sucks Live is how you can get in touch with us. If you're listening on our LRN, you can also go over and check us out at schoolsucksproject.com. Click the live tab in the main nav bar, and you can see us on Ustream.
We want to cover the rest of these in the next hour and some other things?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are pretty much familiar with these, but maybe we can get into them a little bit more. And if you have thoughts on this, please give us a call.
Dysgraphia, is that like something to do with...
That has
drawing
to do.
Mazes?
No, graph paper. Graph is Latin for... it's Greek, yeah. My friend.
Yes, thank
for,
you.
For writing. This is School Sucks Graphia. Live.
There you go. Go ahead.
We'll be back in a few. Hey, everybody, this is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. If you want to give us a call, the number is 843-JOIN-SSP, or you can Skype in School Sucks Live, all one word. And we are going to be here until midnight. That's 40 more minutes. We have plenty of time for your call. We're getting our feet wet tonight with the whole School Sucks Live show. So I plan to do this very, themed show on motivation, our successes and failures. Actually, let's go to the phone.
Sure, let's do it.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to School Sucks Live.
Hi, thank you very much.
Who's this?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, like the previous caller said, you guys are a little behind, so I'm not sure where you're at right now. Just calling in, your topics have been hitting home with me. I've had family, friends, loved ones who either been labeled with some medical disorder, Asperger's, ADHD, et cetera, and have gone through the problems of schooling and going through special ed and all that. But for myself, I've worked at a retail pharmacy for 4 years and had recently quit that job because of all the immoral things that I was exposed to.
Oh, wow.
What do you mean specifically, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, the worst would be receiving a four-year-old's prescription for Adderall.
Four-year-old?
And that was the most extreme case, and it was very common to see parents who were in tough situations with children who had quote-unquote behavior problems, and meanwhile, I'm filling their prescriptions for various things, including Adderall.
You know, I think that's... I think that's great that you know that you made that decision to leave that work because it didn't align with what you know your own personal beliefs and I know you could take the stance of well you know I'm just doing my job and some you know if I don't do this somebody else will you know I'm easily replaced and I'm sure somebody else could just step in there and do it but I mean why would you want to do a job that you don't feel comfortable doing or you're not happy about or.
Exactly.
You're just in a miserable work environment.
And your job was, you were a pharmacist, was I correct?
No, sorry, pharmacy technician.
Pharmacy technician, yeah.
But I was only 18 when I started, and I quit, you know, 4 years later. So, I mean, it's strange that an 18-year-old, and it's really, right now the state is having technicians be registered, you know, just another way they can have their hand in the process, but... other than that, there's no big certification, so I was just trained on the job and eventually quit. And also on top of that, I wanted to relate to the teacher education. I had tried my hand at the teacher education program at my community college. They had recently set it up, and it basically was a stepping stone into our county school system. After doing one or two field experiences, social studies in eighth grade. I got to see the gifted kids and the regular kids, and it just brought me back, and I was in a gifted class myself, and I quickly dropped out of that program, especially because before that I had been exposed to John Terragatto and School Sucks, and that's what sparked my interest in education, but I knew all these other things that I was being told the opposite when I went to these classes for teacher education.
What were you being told? I'm just curious. Like, what types of things?
I think I can, go ahead, Steve, but yeah. I think I can definitely I identify with you here.
I bet you can.
Yeah, I know. I've heard Brett relate things that I experienced firsthand, but I just went through the introductory classes before they gave you, like, classroom management and all those other things, which is ironic. but it was basically, like, introduction to teaching strategies and stuff like that, or diversity, and... Basically, and then they give you this general knowledge exam, which was easier than FCAT or, you know, our state standards test. I don't know. Practically anybody is in these classes to become teachers, but they would be teaching us, like, the history of – the history is very manipulated and basically not the history that you would get from John Taylor Gatto's work. Or even what Brett talks about with oppression education, which, you know, Gatto talks about.
But yeah, that was really, I mean, his work was very helpful for me to understand, you know, the Prussian system and beyond, like how deep some of that stuff actually goes. It's really it's really interesting. And
I know some researchers bring it together in a big picture where the pharmaceutical industry and those who crafted the origins of our system for education kind of put them in one picture and makes it more interesting because now they're hand in hand with children on medications and being put through these schooling.
I don't know how much of a grand conspiracy it actually is, but
no,
I mean, I, I remember, you know, I mean, conspiracy is two or more people planning together in secret. And I remember being in this residential school where every kid was on drugs, and they were coming in, these fit, energetic young kids, and they were blowing up into these, you know, lethargic blobs within a year of being on these drugs. Their diets changed, their attitudes changed. They definitely became more docile and more sedentary. But obviously, these kids were put into this school, which the tuition was between $80,000 and $100,000 a year. It was funded by the state, and when all of this, you know, money comes to be available, and no one's really watching it very closely, yeah, those kinds of interests gravitate to that easy money. And I know you're talking about a bigger picture thing, but I've seen that just on a smaller scale. You know, I'm at this little school with 150 kids in Vermont, and, you know, all of them are from, you know, New York City, Rhode Island, Maryland, and they're all being pumped full of drugs, and the taxpayers in those states are paying for it. So, you know, that was a real conspiracy that I was certainly not just witnessing, but was involved in. You know, I mean, I eventually left that job just because it was, I think, similar to the things you were saying. It just got to be too much. And some of these pieces I put together after I had already left.
Hey, I'm curious, what is it that you do now?
I actually work at my university where I am attending for political science and following things that I've been interested in on my own and just haven't devoted enough, but now have. But I work at school, I give tours to new students, you know, that type of stuff, and assist with other things on campus. So more involved in something that I'm interested in.
And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Right now I'm 23.
Oh, all right. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of stuff to happen in the last few years, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm glad that people are, you know, getting to this or starting to understand this at a young age, and it's getting easier.
I was just happy to be able to be a part of the Gatto interview DVD that you have listed on your site. And as far as donating and being a part of the credits of associate producer and all that.
Excellent. But, Steve, thank you so much for your call. Give us a call any Thursday. This is School Sucks Live, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. We've got open phones right now. If you want to give us a call, 843-JOIN-SSP, or you can Skype in School Sucks Live, all one word, and we're here for about another half hour, so we've got time for your call, and make it.
I've been doing these shows for a long time, for many, many decades, and I've never been on a first show where it's just calls like this.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, as far as you being here, and what's your name?
This is Mandrick.
And who's that guy next to you?
That is Jason Osborne.
He can introduce himself.
I just did.
Well, he did.
All right.
But I am Osborne.
Look, yeah. I work for him, so I got to speak for him, I guess.
Another way to put it would be I work for him.
Right?
Yeah. Now, listen, guys, as this gets more polished, I'm not gonna sit here and talk about
the show. What are you talking about?
And our technical... Oh, hold on. We've got a call. Let's go to Mickey. Caller in New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing terrific. It's nice to hear from you. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I've been watching the whole time, and I've listened to the show off and on for a while now, and I was excited about hearing that it was going to go live. How does it feel for you to go on live and actually have the ability to get people watching you and then call in?
It's pretty good. It's pretty cool. As time goes on, I think right before I saw you coming in, I was going to tell a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff that over time, hopefully this will smooth itself out and everything will become, you know, just more automatic as far as doing both the broadcast and the streaming. But I'm relatively satisfied with how things are going tonight. It hasn't been problem-free. But
your honeymoon.
Yes. No, no. Oh, geez. I hope not. Honeymoon is good, right? Honeymoon is happy time.
This is like the courting step, right? We're still... early on. I don't know.
So this is wedding planning time right here.
Are you talking about me and my co-host, Mickey? Like, we won't like each other in a few weeks, but the show?
The honeymoon's totally over between us.
What a honeymoon it was, though, huh?
No, you're absolutely right. This is either the you know what, this is the wedding night when you're both too drunk to get anything done.
Oh, geez, yeah, I didn't think about it like that. So, Mickey, what do you think about what we've been discussing so far tonight? This whole motivation topic. We haven't really gotten into our successes and failures yet, but I'd be happy to hear your thoughts.
Well, it's. When we talk about motivation, well, you know what? Actually, I have a couple of my own things that I was thinking when over the course of several of the other things that were brought up. Do you mind if I bring up just one thing that has little to do with motivation?
Oh, of course not. Go ahead.
It has to do with conspiracy, because one of the most difficult things that I find with conspiracy is. I think that it puts too much faith in the ability of people or a small group of people. I think that what looks to us on the outside as conspiracy ends up being just habits that we cannot combat. There are things that some people start, or some people accidentally start, maybe even on purpose start, but other people perpetuate, and they get to the point where it just has a life of its own. And then a conspiracy would be better. There would be a group of people where you could like have a Hollywood movie where you go in and you kill five people and it all goes away. But instead of that, what do we have? We have something that doesn't go away. It just stays there.
So can we do a walkthrough of this, like what you're talking about here? We can pick something that a lot of conspiracy theory surrounds and maybe explain a little bit more about what you're talking about. Do you think that would be possible?
Sure, sure. Do you want to pick something, or want me to make something up?
Let's do 9/11.
I was going to say JFK, but go ahead.
9/11 is more recent, easier for free people to pick apart. So let's see. One of the conspiracy theories that I have heard is that 9/11 was actually plotted by the U.S. government. And one of the pieces of evidence that they give for this is that, oh, shoot, I'm going to forget what building number it is. There's a building that goes down 7. Thank you.
I know that because I watch videos of it imploding all day on YouTube.
Yeah, Brett, we literally have 4 TVs in here, and it's just building. 7 falling over and over again.
Now I haven't really taken a strong position on this issue one way or the other publicly on my show. I have absolutely no problem believing that there is far more to the story, or even like that the official story is nowhere near the truth. I have no problem with that.
You came to the Ideas of Liberty from, isn't that how, you said that before in a previous show?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it started in education and then kind of moved into this whole conspiracy realm. Like, I was working in education and realizing that there was problems there, but then starting to look more at some of these more complex events and the alternative versions of what might have happened. And, you know, that eventually got me to listening to Free Talk Live maybe 6 years ago. And I kind of backed away from some of that stuff because in many cases, I didn't think it was very productive. But we're here, Mickey, we're at 9/11, and do we want to talk about how this, what you're saying is, there isn't a small group of plotters. This is...
Well, you know what? Let me say that for 9/11 specifically, mm-hmm. and you know what? Forget about 9/11. Let's talk about 9/11 and JFK, mm-hmm. because those are single events. And I would differentiate between those and ongoing things, like a conspiracy to, I don't know, perpetuate the two-party system. That's not really a conspiracy. That's just habit. But assassinating a president, that could totally be a conspiracy.
Right.
Or running a plane into a building. You know what? That was a conspiracy, whether it was a government conspiracy or some guys sitting in caves in another country, it was a conspiracy.
Right. Yeah, that's just that was a point of clarification that I wanted there about that. So now I understand more what you're saying. So you're saying that these things that are long-term are not like a group of, maintained by a group of people who have to meet in some secret room filled with cigar smoke and curly mustaches.
Well, hold
week.
On. Wouldn't like the Bilderbergers qualify in that then? By the conspirators?
I think that's pretty public. And I mean, they might conspire, but I think there's a pretty good... These groups that are real and that exist, like the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. And I mean, there's no intrigue about that. I think people know that these groups are real. I think it's just a matter of how much influence that they have.
But there's another reason that I want to differentiate between catastrophic or one-time events like the Oklahoma bombing, the Oklahoma federal building bombing, 9/11 and JFK, and things like public education, because those things happened. They're done. We can talk about it all we want. We could even be right, but we're not going to change the fact that they happened. Now, when we talk about two-party systems, statism, and public education, whether it's a conspiracy or not is something we can talk about. We can talk about it quite a bit. But one of the things about that gets to me is that, you know what? Even if the conspiracy theorists are right, there is a problem that comes in when you want to affect change. Because if you talk about conspiracies, and again, even if you're right, you sound as though you are crazy.
Yes.
You sound like an outsider. So I would suggest that even if you believe it's a conspiracy, that you should maybe not hide the fact, but try to find alternative ways of describing why we should change things. Not say that it's a small group of people who are lobbyists who are trying to wreck school nutrition, just to pick one item out of the hat, and say that, well, no, what we should do is X and Y because these are the benefits. In other words, let's solve the problem, not assign blame.
I like that too. And, you know, it's a good point that you say, you know, maybe not focus on these things, or even if you knew these things, it might not move your message forward to be talking about them to people. Is that, did I pick that up correctly?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds like
it. Sure. Reminds me of the time this guy came to me with all of these suitcases filled of documentation. And he's like, Brett, look, we never went to the moon. The aliens are here. They live inside the earth. And I flipped through it all. It all checked out. I said, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. I don't want to sound like a nut.
What about the lizard people?
The inside the earth. They're the aliens. Oh. What else would the lizard people be?
Lizard aliens?
Look, Mickey, I want to hold you on the line because this is a very important topic and I want to take it seriously, and we can flesh it out a little bit better when we get back. Can you hang with us?
Sure. No problem.
All right. School Sucks Podcast Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. This is our final segment. We still might have time to squeeze you in. And you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. After the show ends at midnight on LRN, we will stay on Ustream. And if you're listening to us there, you can chat with us, or we can still take your calls on Ustream. But right now, we've got
Mandrick. Yeah.
And Osborne.
And on the phone,
Mickey.
Yeah. All right. So we were talking about conspiracy, and you know, this is my thing, Mickey. This is and I know, like, I think I saw Osborne. Maybe you don't like conspiracy talk. Not a fan.
I don't either, honestly. No, I'm totally not a fan.
Certainly amusing.
Well, I think that the word conspiracy is a word that needs some solidification and a better definition, because all history is at the planning stage is pretty much conspiracy. Like, politicians, right, or leaders never tell people what they're doing or why.
Well, I can understand what you're saying there, but I think most people in general, when they hear conspiracy, they're just going to think, okay, crazy, kooky stuff.
Oh, sure. And they've been conditioned. They've been conditioned to think that anything that's even relatively complex, or that they might not have this very simple explanation that can just be, oh, you know, it was this guy and he hates you.
So language is important. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're like, go ahead, Mickey.
Well, anyone who doesn't think that there's conspiracies that go on just needs to get in a room with a bunch of politicians and lobbyists.
Yeah.
And your mind will be blown.
Yeah. But I think of conspiracies as this pyramid, Mickey, where most of the things that happen, there's very few people. It's like, as you go up to the capstone of the pyramid, you have increasing knowledge. And as you go down to the foundation of the pyramid, you have increasing people. So, like, there might be very few people involved who actually know what's going on compared to everyone that's involved. But, you know, history is conspiratorial. And I think we pointed this out on one of my shows recently. Up until, you know, public education in the United States and Central Europe and Western Europe, it was taught that way. You know, I mean, like Machiavelli, Sun Tzu, that's a conspiratorial history. So.
And I don't think that that's necessary. You know what? I don't actually disbelieve that there are conspiracies that occur. My the main thrust of what I would like to relay is, what is the thing that we, and I include myself when I say we, want to accomplish? I mean, if there is absolutely five people in a room with curly mustaches, even the women, who are saying we need to indoctrinate the people and we're going to use schools to do this, I don't think that that's the message that we want to lead with.
Right. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I think that people need to understand that something like that is happening and that there are people in power. I mean, I think we go through so much conditioning to worship authority that most people, even though they never really think about it, just kind of resign themselves to the belief that the people in power have their best interests in mind, even if that's like very, very subtle and they say, oh, I don't trust politicians, but they still believe in the authority of the system as it goes along. And I think to expose some of these things is helpful, but then it really, you know, how do you do it without going too far too fast and pushing somebody away? So your point is definitely taken.
And it's actually, you bring up something that is that drives this point home, because even if you can reveal to someone something that they have not been noticing, for example, like the approval rating for Congress is, I don't know what, 9%, 12%, 13%, something ridiculously low.
Right. And the incumbency rate in 2012 will be 92%.
Probably
92%. And the same people who disagree with 88% of what they do, which I realize that is not exactly how that number works, will then turn around and in the same span of time say, we need them to fix problem, some kind of problem. Why do people not see the disconnect between people, a group of people that they have no trust in, and wanting the same group of people to solve problems?
That's a very interesting question.
It's a good question. Yeah.
But the thing is, when you are trying to, when you're trying to reveal things to people or change minds or bring people into a better way of thinking, one of the things that you can very quickly run into is creating a level of discomfort. Like if you say, oh, hey, we should solve these problems, and those people can't do it, even though you want them to.
Well, Mickey,
what happens? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Actually, that's what I wanted to comment on is, I personally believe the best way to do that is, I mean, you can offer solutions, but I think the best way is just to live your life, you know, the way in a way that, you know, it could influence other people in a positive way. Because honestly, I don't think I'm going to have a huge impact on the entire world, but I can have an impact on the people around me, right? By living a certain way and, you know, by the beliefs that I have. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but I don't know about you, but the people I surround myself with are not the people that I need to affect.
Well, who are you trying to affect? Are you trying?
Well, I think what he's saying, what he's saying is that, you know, he already surrounds himself with good people who understand what we're talking about, right? Okay. Because those are the kind of people that we want to spend our time
with.
I spend my time with you guys.
Yeah.
But we're not talking to each other. And this is, you know, Mickey, this is something that I've spent a lot of time working on, because and that was kind of back to my suggestion of people spending 2 hours a week in the mainstream media, which I'm a little on the fence about now. But how do you reach out to those people and have it be effective? I mean,
it could happen at the grocery store just from a simple interaction.
But it's very emotional. I think, Mickey, that's what you're saying too, right? There's this like this disconnect is not, it's not like an intellectual problem. It's an emotional problem.
No, it's absolutely an emotional problem. And for people who are more self-aware, if you bring up an inconsistency, someone who is self-aware or is willing to do the introspection can say, oh my goodness, you're right. I do have a problem. I'm contradicting myself.
Well, Mickey, can you give an example? Like how would you bring that up to somebody? Let's say it's somebody who doesn't get it, I guess, or however you want to say it. Like, what would you say to them?
You know what? I've tried these sort of things with I'll take a really divisive issue because it's happened to me before, like abortion.
Okay.
And say like, what do you believe? Blah. Okay. Well, okay. What about? And then I will relate what they said to the opposite side. So to bring an example of the same kind of thing, many of the people who are pro-choice about abortion believe very strongly in what I should have said is the people who adhere to that tend to have a set of beliefs just because of the way that we corral people into one of two different groups. So wanting to help people, help the underprivileged is a pretty common theme for people who are in the pro-choice camp. And I realize libertarians are not a little more fuzzy than that. So to bring up so if that's the case, then why would it be okay for it to happen to this being who is still in the womb? Now I realize there's a whole lot of other things that go into that because there's actually the woman involved and other things. But what normally happens is I am unable to elicit a reasonable or measured response to exactly what I'm saying. Typically, people will dodge the issue.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is very much emotional. It's not because they don't have information. It's because they have a really comfortable way of thinking about it that they don't want. They don't want that to be interfered with. Mickey, let me pause you right there for a minute. Do you have like 15 or 20 minutes more of free time?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We're about to run out of time on the broadcast clock here, but I'm going to just move this over to Ustream. So after our next break, I will pick it back up on just the video stream only in 5 minutes, and we can talk about this a little bit more. So can you hang with us, Mickey?
But sure. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll be back in a few minutes with you. All right. Well, that has been the School Sucks live show number one.
Wow. You paid a lot of people to call tonight.
That's not true at all.
Actually, it is.
SchoolSucksProject.com is the website. I am Brett.
This was Mandrick
and Osborne.
Thank you guys for
Thank
coming.
You.
I'm not going to say this show was twit, but I think we're going to get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah. All right. Move over to Ustream, SchoolSucksProject.com.
Don't tell me what to do.
And, click live and you can watch us, and we'll continue there. Thanks for listening and take care.